Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's gonna win it. Oh, baby, they're gonna win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Welcome to the newest episode of Where Has the Defense Gone? Name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. You find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. You can also find the podcast on Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending. And then check out some photos of us at various games and all the podcast episodes. Those are going to be on the Facebook page. And then you'll find some of those photographs also on Instagram at namechangepending24. That's namechangepending24 on Instagram. We're almost sounding like a real business. It's kind of crazy. We're doing some stuff. But don't worry, we're not making any money. So we're going to talk today about the Week 3 Broncos debacle in Lambeau Field at Green Bay. That was a rough game to watch. I don't feel like I have a whole lot of faith in this team at all right now. I think this quote from Emmanuel Sanders kind of sums up where the Broncos are at as a team and as a franchise right now. After the game, Sanders said, "Times are rough around here. Obviously, the past few years, it's been tough. We're trying to get it right. Right now, we're 0-3, living in a world of suck. Football is still fun, but not as much fun when you're losing." Yeah, living in a world of suck is pretty honest. Watching these Broncos games every Sunday is rough times. So let's jump right into the game. We'll talk about the offense first, because that's what most people care about when it comes to football. So if we just take a raw look at the numbers, Joe Flacco was 20 of 29, 213 yards with an interception. He also took 6 sacks in the game for a collective total of 52 yards lost. He had a QBR rating of 49. A QBR of 49. It's like saying PIN number. I can't stand that. Or VIN number. It's vehicle identification number, not vehicle identification number. Sorry, that's just a side note, little rant. So Flacco's QBR of 49, and just put that in perspective a little bit, the average QBR is going to be right around 50. So if you look at that, Joe Flacco was a below average quarterback yesterday for the Denver Broncos. And I would say, based on the three games I've watched, he's been a below average quarterback each of the 3 weeks. It's frustrating to watch. The running game looked pretty good. They put in a new wrinkle in the offense where they had Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay in the backfield together. I liked seeing that. Not necessarily having a fullback back there, but those are two guys that the defense has to account for. Lindsay had 21 carries for 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 4 catches for 49 yards. So overall, a great day from Phillip Lindsay. Royce Freeman had 15 carries for 63 yards and 4 catches for 10 yards. So 8 catches between those two running backs. The problem with this was that those two had 203 total yards of offense. Normally, that would be great if I'm seeing two running backs account for over 200 yards of offense. The problem being that that was over two-thirds of the team offense in yesterday's game. And, I mean, frankly, things just aren't getting spread out enough. You need to be able to move the ball around. You need Cortland Sutton. You need Emmanuel Sanders. You need Deshaun Hamilton. I didn't even see Hamilton on the field yesterday, honestly. I'm not sure if he played. But it's frustrating. They don't have enough weapons. Noah Fant has shown himself to be a little bit of a weapon, but then he fumbles yesterday in the second half. We'll talk about that later. It's just frustrating. You know, so I mentioned Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton. Sutton had a good day. I believe he had 89 yards on 5 catches, but 52 of those yards came on 1 catch, and he really wasn't able to do a whole lot otherwise. But I think he's building on his rookie season, and he's looking better than he was last year. He hasn't had a problem with the dropsies like he did all of last season. And then, you know, we look a little bit deeper into the offense. There were 3 turnovers yesterday. It was a Joe Flacco strip sack ending the first half. That one I'm not going to put on Flacco. The defensive end got around Garrett Bowles on that, strips the ball out as Flacco's bringing it up to pass. I mean, it is what it is. No offense. Fumble on the first drive of the second half. As a rookie, you've just got to hold on to the ball. That's all it comes down to. You can't drop that ball. You can't let a DB get his hands around that and rip it out the way he did. You got to be a man out on that football field. That's your ball. Keep it. And then the third turnover was a Joe Flacco interception in the second half there in the third quarter. And that what was frustrating about that was right after the Courtland Sutton 52-yard catch. So you feel like you're building something as an offense, and then that happens. Looking at the offensive line yesterday, they were just bad. I mean, Flacco had time to throw the ball occasionally, but it seemed like he was dancing for his life all game. It seemed like every time he drops back the entire season that he's been dancing around the pocket, trying to figure things out, trying to get enough time. And a guy like Joe Flacco with just his style, like he wants to hang on to the ball. He wants to try and create plays downfield. And it's putting too much pressure on him. He's getting hit from the blind side. Garrett Bowles on that left tackle position, he's been terrible, outright terrible. I don't believe he had any holding penalties yesterday after three the previous week and four called, only three accepted. I don't think he had any holding penalties, but it seemed like his guys, whether it be Zendarius Smith or any of the other Packers linebackers or defensive linemen, just it was like a turnstile. They're just getting right around him, and then he's looking into his quarterback picking himself up off the floor. It sucks. Elijah Wilkinson on the right side stepping in for the injured tackle Juwan James. He struggled yesterday as well. He's played better than this in the previous two games. Didn't look great last week, but looked better than he did yesterday. Honestly, that Packers defense might be really good. They might do a great job getting pressure on the quarterback, and it is what it is. But you need more from your offensive line. And as a Broncos fan, frankly, I was expecting more with Mike Munchak coming in, taking over the offensive line and helping build those guys up. The bright spot has been Dalton Reisner, but you know, one left guard does not an offensive line make, unfortunately. And then defensively, the Broncos were able to hold Aaron Rodgers to 17 of 29, 235 yards and a touchdown. Pretty good day, I would say, overall for the defense, but that's kind of what Aaron Rodgers has looked like this year. So is it a step back for Rodgers, or did the defense start to come together? Not totally sure, but I can tell you, as far as rushing the ball, they did a much better job today after Josh Jacobs gashed them in week one. And then last week, they just couldn't get a stop when they needed to. The rushing defense looked a lot better. They only allowed 77 yards rushing. They keyed on Aaron Jones. That was one of the guys they were focused on coming into the game and did a great job of stopping him. Defensively, the team still has zero sacks, zero turnovers forced. 3 weeks into the year, that's just unacceptable, especially for a team whose strength coming into the season was their linebacking core, their ability to get to the quarterback with guys like Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. Maybe that depth, you know, you look at a guy like Shaquille Barrett, who is now in Tampa Bay, he has 8 sacks through 3 games on the season. Something you would love to see in Denver, and maybe that's what it is. They've got star talent up front, but they don't have any depth. As far as a guy I've complained a lot about so far this year, Isaac Yiadom at cornerback, seemed like he saw a lot fewer snaps yesterday. I was checking it out. The snap counts aren't available yet, but prior to last week, in weeks 1 and 2, he had played all but one defensive snap. And based on what he had given the team, that's just way too much. Seemed like every time he was on the field, he was trying to catch up to an offensive pass catcher, a guy who had just caught a ball in front of him. He was having to play with so much cushion because it just seems like he doesn't have the quickness to make up for a misstep or anything like that. Bright spot in the secondary. Two bright spots, actually. I really like what Kareem Jackson has been doing. He looks good in coverage. It seems like he gets his hand on a lot of balls. He wasn't credited with any passes defensed yesterday, but he's involved. He's there, and you can tell that defenses are accounting for him, and that's really good to see as a free agent acquisition from the Texans last year. And then cornerback Devontae Bosby, he got his first playing time of the year. I thought he looked much better than Isaac Yiadom. He was actually able to put some pressure man coverage on the Packers wide receivers. He was credited with 2 passes defensed, and overall, I really liked what Devontae Bosby brought to the team yesterday playing over Isaac Yiadom. Todd Davis, middle linebacker, he saw his first action of the year. Nothing real special to speak of besides the fact that he did see some action for the first time since the first day of training camp. He was credited with 3 total tackles, and I talked about the run defense looking a little bit better, and I think that's a direct attribution to a guy like Todd Davis coming back and just making that defense more stout up the middle. A couple injuries we saw on the defensive side of the ball. Josie Jewell led the team in tackles yesterday. He had 6 total tackles, but left the game early with a leg injury. Not sure. We don't have an update on that yet. And then on a more serious note, Derek Wolf, Broncos defensive lineman, left with an ankle injury. He was seen on the sideline in a boot with crutches during the game and then after the game leaving the locker room. And the scuttlebutt around the team is that he could be out several weeks. And just like Josie Jewell, we don't have an update on that. I'm sure he'll get x-rays or an MRI or something today and determine the severity of that injury. And then on special teams, here we are again, I guess the best part of the squad. Colby Wadman, the punter, he averaged almost 50 yards a punt in 3 attempts. And if you're going to be playing the field position game, if the defense can step it up, those long punts, those coffin corner kicks are going to be something there this team is going to need. Kicker Brandon McManus missed an extra point, but you know, just because of the score, 27-16, that didn't come back to haunt the team. He hit a short field goal and connected on another extra point, so he had 4 points total on the day, but you'd like to see him avoid missing those extra points. And then in the return game, Deontay Spencer had a nice appearance for the Broncos. In the first half, he had a 60-yard kickoff return that was called back due to a penalty. Not called all the way back, but was called back about 20 yards. But a 60-yard kickoff return, I like that. Then we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll just take a look at the Broncos season in review so far through 3 weeks. And thank you for joining us on Name Change Pending.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
Welcome back to Where Has the Defense Gone? Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. We're talking about the Denver Broncos today. We just talked about the Week 3 matchup against the Green Bay Packers and how lackluster that was. And now we'll just look at the first 3 games of the year as a whole, a little season at a glance here. So the Broncos are 29th in scoring in the league. They're only averaging 15.3 points per game. That 29th in the league leads only 3 squads: the hapless New York Jets with their third-string quarterback, the Chicago Bears, which Mitchell Trubisky is basically a third-string quarterback, and then the just directionless Miami Dolphins, who have no idea what they're doing at quarterback or any other position. 46 total points on the season. It's disappointing to say the least. Offensively, they're 20th in yards gained per game. They're averaging 342 yards per game. And that trails teams that, I mean, really, I look at the standings, and I don't think that the Broncos with Joe Flacco at quarterback should be trailing the Cincinnati Bengals, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Buffalo Bills. All 3 of those teams have better offenses than the Broncos so far this year. Passing game specifically, they are averaging just 230 yards per game passing. Only 230 yards per game. I know, it's kind of ridiculous. That 230 yards a game trails quarterback luminaries such as Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, a couple teams we just talked about, the Bucs. We've got the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, their second-year quarterback, who, from what I've seen, is a better runner than a passer. And then 6th-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gardner Minshew, is also throwing for more yards per game than the Denver Broncos are. They're tied for 22nd in the league in yards per attempt, only 7 yards per attempt. And this from a quarterback who, for all his faults with the Baltimore Ravens the last few years,
He was at least supposed to come in and be good at throwing the deep ball, and he can't even do that 7 yards per attempt when every rule in football is bent and written and designed in a way to allow for more offense and passing specifically. I don't get it. I don't know how you're only at 7 yards per attempt. The rushing game has been decent. It's solidly in the middle of the pack. They rank 14th in the league, averaging 111.3 yards per game. But they're only 22nd in yards per attempt. So I guess what it kind of looks like to me is they're running the ball more because they can't throw the ball, but they're not necessarily running the ball well. The offensive line, I've talked a lot about the offensive line and their shortcomings. Surprisingly, they are as high as 26th in the league, only having allowed 11 sacks. The Texans, Jets, Dolphins, Cardinals, and Titans have all allowed more. And watching this team for three games, I didn't think it was possible for another offensive line to be worse. On the defensive side of the ball, they are the only defense in the league that has yet to force a turnover. They're -4 in the turnover margin on the season. And I think really, if you want to break it down to one stat, you look at the turnovers. If you can't force a single turnover through three games, you probably don't deserve to win any of those three games. The Packers game with three turnovers was the worst on the offensive side of the ball. But just defensively, you've got to be able to depend on them to get some takeaways. And then if that wasn't bad enough, not only can they not force turnovers, they can't get to the quarterback. They're also the only team in the league without a quarterback sack, which a team that's built on the backs of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and they can't get to the quarterback. It's kind of ridiculous. You wonder about Vic Fangio, and he was supposed to be the linebacker whisperer coming into Denver, and it hasn't seemed to come together so far. So my quick summary of what I think this team needs to do. Offensively, Joe Flacco has got to step up. He needs to lead this team. He's got to get rid of the ball faster, even if that means throwing the ball away sometimes. He gets caught holding onto the ball in the pocket, looking to make something happen, and the offensive line just isn't good enough for that. Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay need to continue splitting their carries so that neither gets worn out carrying this offense. When it comes down to it, they're the only two consistently productive guys, Phillip Lindsay specifically, and he's just too small at, 160, 170 pounds, 5'8". He can't take 30 hits a game. He can't get 30, 40 touches. So they need Royce Freeman to continue carrying the rock and helping move the chains and create short fields. Rookie tight end Noah Fant, he's got to improve his blocking. You can tell he's working on it, but it's got to get better. The offensive line needs all the help they can get. And then when you do get the ball thrown your way, you've got to hold on to it. You can't let a defensive back come in and strip it away. Like, what's his name? Alexander did with the Packers yesterday. I can't remember his first name. But we can't allow that. Receivers, Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton, they need to get open more consistently, and they've got to get open quicker. Seems like this offense has been built around five-step drops, seven-step drops, and deep routes. And the offensive line just isn't good enough for that. So the offense, I think, needs to speed up. Coordinator Rich Scangarello has got to start getting that ball out of Flacco's hands faster. Three steps and release. Do timing routes, slant routes, things like that. Because it's just, like I said, the offensive line is not good enough to get the ball down the field and give Joe Flacco time. We've got to get Juwan James back healthy and hopefully move Elijah Wilkinson over to the left tackle spot. Garrett Bowles simply isn't cutting it. Wilkinson didn't have his best day yesterday by any means, but he's got to be better than Garrett Bowles. If Bowles isn't holding someone, then the defensive player's getting to the quarterback. That's just how it goes. And the look on Bowles' face, he didn't have any holds yesterday, but the look on his face in some of those week two holding calls with the Bears, like, if you don't think that's a hold, then you need to go and review the rules. Like, these are very obvious holding calls. I mean, really, when it comes down to Garrett Bowles, I think we can safely label this guy another John Elway first-round pick bust. He joins the likes of Paxton Lynch and Shane Ray, a couple names Broncos fans really don't like to hear very often. defensively, they've got to create a pass rush. Everything I'm talking about comes down to they have to have a pass rush. Every quarterback in the league is going to be successful when they face a defense that they don't have to worry about getting to them. They don't have to worry about getting hit. They don't even have to wash their jerseys when the game is over. You're going to be successful. Even your Gardner Minshews, your Blake Bortles could come in and have a good game against this team. It's been ugly so far. They also, as they're rushing the passer, we need to stay in lanes. Watching especially the Packers game yesterday and the Derek Carr Raiders game in week one, when those guys would roll out, quarterbacks roll out of the pocket, there's a little bit of pressure from the edge, and they roll to the sideline. They were just picking the Broncos' secondary apart. So stay in their lanes. They've got to take away those rollout options for the quarterbacks and keep them in the pocket. That's only going to make your defense better. Couple injury issues from yesterday's game. So with Derek Wolf likely out several weeks, middle linebacker Josie Jewell is going to be questionable. They need to have guys like Shelby Harris, Adam Gotsis, Draymond Jones, DeMarcus Walker have got to step up on the defensive line. Linebackers Todd Davis and Corey Nelson have got to improve their play, in the middle of the defense. I mean, Todd Davis, it was his first game back from injury after missing the first two games of the year and all of training camp. But hopefully he can be healthy and come in and be a presence there in the middle of the linebacking group. As far as the secondary goes, it seems like they are improving. They're working out some of the issues. Cornerback Isaac Yiadom was a black hole earlier in the year. The first 2 weeks, it seemed like every time he dropped back, he was getting targeted in the passing game. And he was tackling well, but he was giving up, you know, 6, 7, 8 catches a game, which was frustrating to see. Yesterday, it looked like Yiadom had a significant decrease in his playing time, at least from my observations at home. And those plays were picked up by Devontae Bosby, and seemed like he had a pretty good game. He was credited with two pass breakups, and it looked like he was a better press coverage type of corner than Isaac Yiadom showed he could be. Bryce Callahan continues to miss games. So Bryce Callahan, the nickel corner, signed as a free agent with the Broncos after playing for the Bears and Vic Fangio last season. He's yet to play through three games, and his help as a nickel corner, possibly on the outside, could really help out that secondary and solidify it. Then you can make Bosby your third corner instead of your second. Yiadom can still get some experience, but as a fourth corner. But really, with all that being said, I can talk about the defense until we're blue in the face. But if Von Miller and Bradley Chubb can't step up their production and get to the quarterback, then it's all for moot. It really doesn't matter, because this defense just isn't going to be good enough if they can't create pressure on the passer to win games and keep their offense in it based on what we've seen so far from the offense. Overall, I would say I'm definitely disappointed with this 0-3 start. This is a team, we've talked about it a lot today, it's a team built on riding their defense to wins, and the defense just isn't producing. They're not getting the job done. What I've seen so far is the worst-case scenario that I could have predicted for this 2019 season. Joe Flacco hasn't looked very good. The defense hasn't been able to do anything, and they're 0-3. I mean, how much worse could it possibly get? Frustratingly, with the play of Joe Flacco, Broncos fans can't even call for rookie second-round pick Drew Lock to make an appearance because of a preseason thumb injury. So he's out until probably at least into November. He hasn't practiced since the second preseason game, and I know he was going to be missing at least 8 weeks after getting placed on IR, so I'd be surprised to see him back in practice before mid-October, and then after missing that much time as a rookie, I don't see him getting into games until November. We'll see if Flacco can hold it down and improve it all. And so my question is, with the 0-3 start, are the Broncos tanking for Tua? Do they think that they have a quarterback of the future in Drew Lock that they can wait on? And if they get a high draft pick, maybe focus on other holes in the team to fill? Who knows? It's really hard to say, but I can tell you that the last two top five picks John Elway has made, say what you will about his draft history, but the last two top five picks have resulted in Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, so maybe that's not the worst way to go. Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending today. This is your host, Brian Priest.